sorry about that. And, you're listening to Glenn Coble and Dr. Feynman. I hear you're on the air, so how you doing?
I'm doing fine. I have to say I never wanted Speedo.
Oh, you were listening.
Yes, at the end I was, yeah.
Well, anyway, I'm glad we got the answer to that, and I'm sure that Scott is listening right now. Scott, don't drive off the road just because of that.
I also want to say I agree with you about Chauvin. Feel a little bit sad for him because how he could have done that and not realize that he was going too far. It is sad, you know?
Well, that's one of the first things on my list of things to talk about. Let's talk about that. Why? Now, I feel sorry for him because I feel he wasn't brought up right, or he wasn't trained right by his family or by the police.
He had other incidents with, reports about him, so that should have been a warning sign to them about how he was performing, and he probably should have been dismissed long ago, and as bad as it would be to lose your job, it wouldn't be going to prison for up to 40 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, so it is sad.
Yeah.
I'm not happy, but it's necessary that this happens, but I still consider that, he's someone that you can understand the hell he's going through now after what he did, because he just lost control. He just lost his mind, really,
Well, first of all, I forgot to tell anybody they're listening to A Progressive Life with Glenn Coble and Dr. Ron Feynman.
Yes.
When I watched his eyes when they were announcing guilty, guilty, guilty.
Dawning eyes, yeah.
I was expecting to at least see some remorse there, but it just looked like he just didn't know what to do.
He was shocked, because he didn't see his whole face, obviously.
Right.
His eyes looked like he was just shocked, like, what? I think that's what he was thinking,
Yeah, and how he could be shocked, I don't know. Did you think that we were going to get that verdict on all three counts?
I really had doubts. I thought maybe on one of them, maybe the least of them. I didn't expect it to be on all three counts. I think the jury did a great job in that regard, but that's not something you would expect involving a police officer.
Right. Now, I thought that he was going to get it on the big charge and not the other two. I thought they would... I don't know why they had to do the other two, but the big one, I thought they would do that for.
But the one thing is, I think that he felt he's a police officer or was, this won't happen because it doesn't really happen. Very rarely does it happen that a police officer is convicted. So I think he was shocked in that sense.
Well, did you hear about our police officer shooting a young lady?
Yes, I saw that. Oh, my God.
Now, did you see it in slow motion?
I didn't have time to notice that, but I just think, again, yes, there was an issue there, but right away, it shoots to kill. Why not shoot the wound is my argument,
And I suggested on Scott's and my show that I think that maybe we ought to rethink where we put the taser as opposed to the gun. Put the gun on the weak side of the person and the taser on the strong side of the person.
If he had tased her, she wouldn't be dead.
Yes. And I think I have yet to see a situation where a police has killed anybody where they couldn't have tased them and de-escalated everything. Now, tasers still can be lethal.
It can be, especially with older people, people in bad health, yes.
But better that than shooting them.
And always shoot to kill. Why not shoot to injure, is my argument. It's not good to go through any shooting, but at least you can survive and go on,
Well, I'm kind of torn between the idea of taking guns away from all people. Well, not really. But, I think that police officers should have to have 2 or 3 years of training with a seasoned policeman before they give them a weapon. I think they should all be allowed to have a taser and maybe a baton. But I think you need some time to have somebody watch you and see how you respond.
Well, I think one of the problems is, I don't know about this person, Chauvin, but a lot of police have been military, and they think the military is the same. It should not be looked at that we're having, it's like the enemy, I think that's how a lot of cops look at many people of color, that they're the enemy.
Well, I asked this question the other day. Is it the job of a policeman to protect and serve, and or is it a job of a policeman to punish? And I really don't think it's their job to punish. And I think a lot of them think they have to be the punisher.
Yeah, well, I guess because over a year, they go through a lot of stressful moments.
Yeah.
Sure, and it gets to the head, and I think that's the problem. It's a tough job, and, you know, I'm not sure who said, I think it was Pat Robertson, of all people, who said they're not paid well enough. That's one thing.
Yep.
He also thought that, you know, that what Chauvin did was wrong, but in a way, they're not paid enough. You know, we don't pay public servants enough. We don't pay cops enough. We don't pay firefighters enough, medics enough, teachers, nurses. You know, we all want to have these services or need them, but we don't want to have people paying taxes for them. That's the problem.
Right, and, you know, that's going to be a problem that we're going to have to fight for years and years and years to come, because we have some people that, like our particular congressman here in this area, that doesn't want to fund anything. And then we have other congressmen that want to fund everything. It's tough to find the middle of that road.
Yeah, but Jim Jordan has really been pilloried this week.
Oh, he has.
Members of Congress, including Maxine Waters. Oh, I just love her.
Well, now, I was going to ask you about that. I really think that she probably shouldn't have put her 2 cents into the fray.
About the conviction, yes. She shouldn't have, but when she went after Jordan in that hearing and told him to shut your mouth, that's what I said, oh my God, I'm sure she wanted to say the other words, including the F word, but she couldn't do that. But I just thought that was wonderful, and so many people applauded that.
Yeah, and we have, she has become a pretty good friend, even better friend now that she's not running for office, Janet Garrett, who has ran against him for the last, two campaigns, maybe three campaigns.
Oh, yeah, he's such a nightmare, Jordan, yeah.
And Janet is a very pleasant lady, and I really think she would have done so much better of a job. But I think there are a lot of people in this district that like tough guys. And I don't
understand the mentality. It can be tough, but not be nasty.
Yeah.
There's a difference, you know. And I think that when someone's decent and has a kindness about him, and knows how to treat people, with respect, like a Walter Mondale,
yeah,
who passed this week. I really felt a real loss with that.
Hey, Scott,
Walter Mondale was great.
Scott said you'd get Walter Mondale in early. He knew you'd love him. Yeah.
You know what's interesting? Adam Lepp totally agrees with me. He loves Walter Mondale.
Well, Scott said to me when we were off the air, he says, one of the first people he'll mention will be Walter Mondale.
Oh, he said that? Really?
Yeah, but you didn't. You waited quite a long time. So he loses that $5 bet. Oh, well. Well, now, there are a lot of people that are mourning his passing. We should all mourn anybody's passing.
He would have been a great president, but he was running against Reagan. And as he said, I'm going to tell you I'm going to increase taxes. He won't, but he will. And he did, Reagan raise taxes,
yeah,
but he didn't say when he ran in 84. That's why lying gets you further, or manipulating gets you further than being common and decent. It's really true.
True.
You know, that's the problem. We don't elect the best people. We elect people who lie to us and deceive us too much of the time.
And now, deception, and one of the lowest avocations that you can have as far as respect goes is a politician. And it's only slightly above a used car salesman. And I was one of those.
A new car salesman. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, me. Yeah.
And so when Nixon was running for president in 68, one of the that's after he lost in 60, one of the commercials was, would you buy a used car from this man?
I didn't remember that.
It was funny as hell. It really was funny.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, I think that Mondale would have been a decent president.
Yes. He was a Hubert Humphrey tradition, and Hubert Humphrey was my original hero, as I think you know, I've told people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really loved him, and he was Mondale's protege, And but one thing is that Mondale was told when Carter was going to ask him to be VP, Humphrey told him, make sure you get a commitment that you're going to really be having things to do, and he's going to have you in on every decision, because he didn't have that with Lyndon Johnson, and he thought it really hurt him, and it, you know, not only personally, but it affected his 68 campaign, because Johnson was a horrible person to be vice president under. He didn't want anything, you know, any had a total loyalty, and he couldn't disagree on anything. He had to basically bow down to him, and that's one of the problems LBJ had. But he was mistreated by Kennedy and by Robert Kennedy. That's the problem, and he treated Humphrey the same way.
Now, do you think that was the beginning of more power to the vice president, or do you think...
Yes, Mondale is the greatest vice president we've ever had, and it's not just because I claim it. Most people who are experts on the vice presidency would say he really transformed the office. Now, Nixon somewhat did that in the 50s when he was acting president unofficially when Eisenhower had three illnesses, and Eisenhower let him do it. So he added to the job, but then Johnson, as great a person in his background, was not allowed to do anything much by Kennedy. Humphrey was treated like a dog, I think, by Johnson. Agnew was, of course, Agnew. Oh, my God, what a terrible person. And then Rockefeller under Ford wanted to do more, but Donald Rumsfeld, who we all know became infamous later, was the chief of staff, and he didn't want Rockefeller to have any input because he was too liberal, you know, compared to most Republicans. So that's why he was dropped in 76 for Bob Dole, and Ford later said he should have kept Rockefeller. He might have won Ohio and Hawaii, and if he had won, which he lost by very small margins, he would have been president instead of Carter for a full term. So, you know, decisions are made and it affects the future.
What did you feel about Ford's presidency? Was it a good one, a decent one, a bad one? What do you think?
I would say it was average to decent, considering the circumstances he came in. He was a blessing that we didn't have Agnew become president if he had not been found out to be the crook he was. He was horrific. And, he only had 2.5 years, but as far as likability, and this Adam Lepp and I agree on, I like Gerald Ford. I really like him, and I loved his wife, and there's no other Republican president I have the same admiration for in modern times. I really think Ford was decent, and had he won, it would have been the end of the world, even though I voted for Carter, mostly because he was a Democrat, but I really didn't care for him because he was a Southerner and I was from the North. I had to get used to him. But now, imagine this, he outlived his own vice president. Now, after 40 years of them both being out of office, he's still around at 96 and a half. He's outlived Mondale now. It's amazing, you know?
Yeah, it is. Well, now, I think Scott and I disagreed on that. I thought, I like the idea that Carter was a Christian man and lived up to his...
Absolutely. He always has, yes.
But I think that Scott didn't feel that. I think Scott thought he was a pretty weak president and really didn't live up to his...
Well, he had tough times, but I think that is a misnomer by younger people who didn't actually live through the time, and they have this image because Reagan followed... Everybody thought Reagan was so wonderful, and I don't think he was that wonderful. He was charming and all that, but a lot of what he stood for, I thought, was not good. He tripled the national debt, damaged the environment, had lots of corruption, a little less than Nixon, but quite a bit under him, didn't know what was going on with Iran-Contra. There's an awful lot of negative stuff, but yet he's rated much higher, and Carter's rated lower, but I think Carter is really the epitome of decency and humanity, and he's still doing it all these years, even now with solar panels in Plains, Georgia. He's fighting solar energy. And of course, he had solar panels, and Reagan took them down. I mean, to me, Carter is a visionary. Even though I didn't know him at the time as much, wasn't as thrilled when he first got elected, I really started to respect him and really admire him more than ever.
Well, now I recall when he was elected, people started selling. So you could start to find places where you could buy solar panels and also windmill stuff.
Yeah.
And boy, that left in a hurry when Reagan came on board. Now, was Reagan against it, or was he just not supporting it?
I think he was against it because of the oil lobby and all that.
Oh, yeah.
And also because he was right-wing, and right-wingers don't like any kind of things that fight like the normal energy community. It's still that way. They're still battling about it on the Green New Deal. You know, these people act as if the Green New Deal is communism. It's ridiculous. It's not.
Well, now that's being re-proposed by OAC, right? And her.
Yes, but of course she doesn't. You know, she's good in my mind, but she doesn't help because people think of her as evil.
Yes.
It's almost like the witch. You know, the devil. And of course, there people say she's not well educated. She's more well educated than Lauren Boebert of Colorado, who dropped out of school, dropped out of high school. I think they got a GED. I mean, the argument is she's stupid. She was actually a very good student, and she's a smart woman, but she's an Hispanic woman who has a mouth, and people don't like that. That's the problem, particularly white men. They don't like that.
Yeah.
But I think OAC, I mean, she's not the mainstream, but I think she's refreshing. She comes up with different ideas, so I actually like her. I wouldn't want her to be president or anything like that, but I think she does a good role as a House member, and I think she makes much more contribution than Marjorie Taylor Greene or Lauren Boebert do.
Yeah, no. She kind of annoys me when she gets on a rant, and she OAC.
And, yeah, well, anybody getting on a rant can be annoying.
Yeah, but it never crosses my mind that she doesn't know what she's talking about, because I think she's done her homework on a lot of stuff.
Well, a lot of it's also beyond being Hispanic, because she's a woman. Just like people are saying Jill Biden is not very smart, they're telling us, some of these people on Fox News, and Harris is involved in a conspiracy with Pelosi against Joe Biden. It's crazy stuff.
Yeah, that is kind of crazy.
And this whole thing that Joe doesn't know what he's doing and he's demented. He's been perfectly fine in every public appearance. He maybe started once or twice, but he's made more sense in what's now, I guess, what is it, 91 days now, than Trump made in 4 years.
Well, now, if you stop and listen to people in general, there are very few Barack Obamas in this world, very few, I'll say Reagans in this world, that can speak in a constant flow and sound like they're constantly thinking and constantly speaking at a level of thoughtful term. Most people do the and
well, FDR and JFK, though, were also great orators.
Oh, yes, yeah, well, I was just thinking more recently, but
yeah,
of course.
And even Bill Clinton was quite good, I think.
And if you stop and think about it, a lot of them had really good writers. They weren't just thinking all that stuff.
Bill Clinton, actually, when he spoke at the 88 convention, backing Michael Dukakis, he brought people to tears. He was long-winded, etc., and they made fun of him, and he went on the 11 o'clock shows, and they made fun of him, and he laughed because he had a sense of humor, which Donald Trump doesn't have. You can be made fun of and laugh at it. It's not a big deal. But he actually became a better orator. He was told you got to work on your oratory, and by the time he ran and became president, he was a better orator.
Now, you last week, I asked you what speech I think was a great speech by Lincoln.
Second inaugural address.
You said the second inaugural address, and I said, okay, I'll read that tomorrow on my show.
Did you?
Well, let me explain.
Too long, right?
We started the show. We're on the air is the name of the show, and I went all the way through the first 2 hours on the air, fine. Then we had a power outage at the end of the show. So for the last 20 minutes of that show, we were off the air.
Oh my gosh.
But then I thought we got back on the air, and we started our show, which is called a Swap Shop, and a lady called in, and I apologize to the lady, by the way.
Such a gentleman, you really are.
She had an umbrella, a cantilevered umbrella that she wanted to sell, and unfortunately, I thought I was on the air, but I was off the air. I even read the second inaugural speech by Lincoln. I thought I did a great job.
It wasn't recorded.
Well, then Adam walked in and he said, you know you're not on the air.
Oh, my God.
So I did 40 minutes of nothing.
40 minutes? It took that long to read it?
No.
How long was the speech? I don't know. I don't know what came out. I don't know what's wrong with the Gettysburg
Address. 5 minutes, very short. Yeah.
Oh, so it's short, but not like 2 minutes.
It's not as short as the Gettysburg Address.
Yeah. I wish we could have been there to hear him, because we don't have any recording, of course.
Oh, I would too.
To see, what would he have sounded like? Supposedly he was quite a good speaker, but hard to know, Yeah,
I'd like to hear his voice, and I don't know that there has ever been any actor or anything that actually got the sound of his voice. And
I don't know if they really can figure it out. But Teddy Roosevelt has been on some. He sounds very high-pitched, which I thought, this is him? I've heard a speech by him, and I said, boy, he sounds high-pitched. Like, doesn't seem impressive. Like, he's really, you know, shrieking almost, you know?
It's almost like Hemingway getting on the air and shrieking. And he doesn't, but it really disappoints you when you hear Roosevelt get on, and he sounds like...
FDR is different, but TR, I don't know if apparently he did wow audiences. Maybe it's just a bad recording of him in the early part of the century. Who knows?
Maybe his underwear were too tight.
Yes. Well, so are you going to try it again to do the...
I don't think I'm going to do it tomorrow because I have a guest tomorrow. Fred Malone is going to come on and talk about all the things that... he did a show for the last 2 months about what happened at all the inaugurals. And there were some inaugurals that were... Nothing happened.
Of course.
But he told about the ones that were pretty spectacular and all the stuff that happened. So, yeah, we had a good show. So I don't think I'll do it tomorrow, I will do that because it's very easy to do. It's easy to read. It's not real familiar till you get to the last paragraph.
And the malice toward none.
That's pretty familiar.
Yes.
It's not really very... inspiring till you get toward the end, I plan on reading that, and I've had a chance to read it once already on the air as practice.
Yeah.
So now I'll do it again.
Yeah, but John F. Kennedy was a person. Every time he opened up his mouth, he was impressive. Even at a press conference, it was his voice, the way he spoke.
And his
accent was so impressive, you know.
And that New England accent makes so intelligent.
Yes, and of course, nice to look at. Probably the handsomest president, although people have different ideas of handsome, but he's one of the more handsome presidents. You know?
Well, my mother was from Worcester, Massachusetts.
Yeah, not Worcester.
Actually, she told everybody she was from Maston.
No, but it's funny. I've done that in class where I say some words are not spelled like you would think. Worcester. It's not W-O-O-S-T-E-R. And I said, and they ask why? I said, I don't actually know, but that's the way it's pronounced. Worcester, although it's Worcester in spelling. It's just funny.
Well, we have a Worcester, Ohio that's spelled like Worcester. We don't have Chester. Like,
but I actually do not understand why the pronunciation in Massachusetts is different. But I've always thought if you go to Worcester, Massachusetts, and you say, is this Worcester, they'll probably laugh at you.
Yeah, they would. Now, we had a place down in southern Ohio, right outside of Athens.
Not Athens, Greece, though.
No, not Athens, Greece. And they pronounce it Athens in Greece, and they pronounce it Athens in...
It's just like Athens, Georgia, or the University of Georgia is there, yeah.
But this place is, it's spelled Chauncey. Chauncey. Well, they pronounce it Chauncey.
Chauncey?
Chauncey. Chauncey, Ohio, but it's really pronounced Chauncey, Ohio.
Really?
We have a place right outside of Marion that is Nevada instead of Nevada.
Oh, my God, that's funny.
Yeah, they want to be a little different.
Well, just like, is it Oregon or Oregon?
Oregon. It sounds like something you put in a light to make it shine.
A lot of places, though, you know, the question of pronunciation comes in, you know.
Yep.
Funny, yeah. Language is fascinating.
It is fascinating. All right. What are we going to do to cut down on the numbers of shootings that we're having? What?
Yes. In fact, I have the statistic here that as of April 20th, total number of gun deaths, all causes, and this is for this year, is 12,000, now it's more obviously, 12,882. Can you believe this?
No, that's the number of deaths by gun?
Deaths, yes, in 3 months, 12,882, homicide is 5,622, and suicide is 7,260. Imagine, 7,000 people committed suicide in 3.5 months.
And we don't need to do anything about guns.
I mean, even just the suicides is enough reason.
Absolutely.
It's unbelievable.
Well, that young man that shot, I can't remember what his name is, but he shot the other person in Minneapolis, not the Floyd thing, but the other one.
Yes.
That was, he had been red flagged, and they still allowed him to buy a gun. Now, what happened with that?
I have no idea. It's just ridiculous. And also, children from 0 to 11, 91 killed.
Oh, my.
193 injured.
And one...
The teens killed 332. That's like four times the younger kids, and 801 injured. I'm telling you, these numbers, you look at, I'm going to write about it on my blog. I looked this up, this Gun Violence Archive 2021, as of April 20th. So now it's, well, actually today, actually it's yesterday. I'm going to say that's yesterday. That's right. So it is up to the moment. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's just, it's out of control.
Well, there was a young person that just shot his brother or sister, I can't remember which, who was like 8 months old, just
oh, yeah, a three-year-old got a hold of a gun.
Yeah.
His mother's bag or something, and then purposely, and killed his 8-month-old. Oh God! How do people ever go over that?
I have no idea.
You know, even though he's young, he's going to affect him the rest of his life, and his mother, and
his mother for sure.
Oh, it's just sick. It's sick. It really is. It's out of control.
Now my wife, it was so anti-gun. I had a gun when we got married.
Because you were in the military, yeah.
Well, and I had a .22 for, you know, going out and target shooting, that sort of thing. I didn't do much, but I had it available if I wanted to. And I did, I had a small shotgun, a 410, which I never used, but I had it because I thought I was going to become a hunter. But anyway, my wife said, you need to get rid of those. And I said, why? Well, because we had, at that time, we had a 7-year-old, we had a 5-year-old, and we didn't have our next one yet. But she was pregnant, and she wanted me to get rid of it before
I agree.
Had a third child.
Yeah.
I got rid of them, and I am very happy I did. I never used them that much anyway.
I bet if you hadn't gotten rid of them, you would not have stayed married.
That is probably, you must know my wife.
I'd like to meet her sometime on Skype or whatever, if we could.
She's a nice lady.
I want to talk to you face-to-face sometimes. Yeah?
She will not go on Skype. The only people that she will go on Skype with are her children.
Wait, at least say hello for a minute. I'm not saying I have to have the whole...
She wouldn't even be in the room. You know?
Oh, really?
That's the way she is. She's just very shy about that.
Yeah.
She isn't shy about yelling at me, but she is.
Yeah, I want to point out that with the gun thing, mass shootings, 156 mass shootings since January 1st.
That's,
and mass murders, 11.
Well, way over one a day, right?
Yes.
That's great. And I think a mass shooting has to be three or more, does it not?
I believe so, yes. And the point is, I think I heard that since March 20, it was like 147 in 30 days. It's like three or four a day. You have these shootings of people dying. It's ridiculous. It really is.
Do you think there's it has a lot to do with the fact that we've been in this pandemic?
I think it's a factor, but it's not an excuse, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, now, Scott and I were talking about that on the air, and I really think a lot of people use that as an excuse for stuff.
People love to have excuses in general for their bad behavior, yes.
Yeah, I can't stand it. I am all locked up and can't go out anywhere. Well, certainly they aren't the people that I see driving around everywhere.
Yes.
Especially now, in the last 2 weeks, I've noticed more and more people are not wearing masks. Now, I still wear my mask, even though I'm well beyond the 2 weeks beyond the second shot.
And you had a good reaction to the shots?
I didn't have a bad one.
The wife's also had it already?
A little, yeah, she's had both, and she's
good.
Passed the 2 weeks, too. And she had a little bit of a reaction. You know who had the most reaction? My eldest son, who I think is 47.
In California, huh?
No, that's my youngest son.
Oh.
My eldest son lives down in Worcester. You got me wrong. Lives down in Worthington, which is a suburb.
You got Worcester on the mind.
Well, it's a suburb of Columbus.
I know, I'm kidding, yeah.
He got really bad sick for a day.
What?
He said it felt kind of like having the flu.
Well, sick for one day or two days against maybe going to the hospital and dying.
Yes.
So it's a big difference.
Oh, and he wasn't complaining.
Believe yeah.
me. And his wife is a used to be. She is no longer, but was a urgent care nurse, and so she knew exactly what to do to take care of him. And
what gets me is I know some people who are medical doctors, and they got sick for a few days. I'm thinking, what is this? Some kind of a strike by the disease against medical people?
Yeah. Well, and I often wonder if they build up so much of the virus in them because they're around it all the time.
True.
Maybe that makes it worse. I don't know. Anyway, those mass shootings, I'm not sure we have an answer. I have, last week on my show, probably the one that I thought I was on, I wasn't, but I said that I don't know a single liberal. And you being the progressive professor.
Liberal and progressive, same idea in my mind, yes.
You and I don't think either one of us has ever suggested that we take hunting guns away from people or even protection guns away from people.
No, absolutely, I do not think
we would both agree that the assault weapons we don't need, right?
No.
Yeah.
It's for war.
Yeah, that's what they're there for. And I'd like to do away with war, but I'm not sure we can.
You see what's going on in the world with the challenges from China and Russia and North Korea and Iran and even other countries, but particularly those four. But I tell you, I mean, it's 91 days. So in the next 2 weeks, we can talk about the 100 days of Joe Biden. I think, you know, he's been doing a great job, and he gives great promise for being, hopefully, over time, the most activist since LBJ and FDR.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's wonderful. And I think Harris has been fine, and I'm not a big critic of Pelosi. I think she has a tough job, and I wouldn't want Kevin McCarthy, the Republican leader, to be the speaker, but that could happen in 2022. So, I mean, you know, you can't expect perfection, but I think they've all done a wonderful job. Chuck Schumer also was Senate Majority Leader.
You know, I just happened to look down at my phone, and I wanted to read this to you. This was said by Lincoln, and I didn't know it was said by Lincoln, but one of the lawyers who was in the Floyd thing said this was a quote from Lincoln, and it's a very short quote. Public sentiment is everything. Now, isn't that interesting that Lincoln would say that, having so many people hated him?
Because, oh, absolutely. That's why there's so many threats against his life.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. But he said public sentiment is everything.
You have to come across well to the public, you know. Yeah. But again, it depends how you define the public, because we have a very split public down the middle. You know. But, I mean, you got to realize we just passed the anniversary of Lincoln's assassination last week, and FDR's death. And I wrote about that on my blog. Right in the middle of April, our two greatest presidents, most people say they are the two, George Washington also, but those two, they both died, you know, in different ways. One died naturally, the other died by assassination, but one died on April 12th, and the other one was shot on the 14th and died on the 15th of April. So it is a big month, yeah.
Back when you and I were kids, did we have a President's Day in April?
President's Day in April?
Yeah, I kept thinking that we celebrated the fact that Washington and Lincoln both died in the month of April. Maybe I'm all...
No. Actually, Washington died... Washington died in December, but when February was President's Day because Washington's birthday is February 22, and Lincoln's February 12th,
yes.
So with birthdays, you would have originally we had separate ones years ago, but then it became a President's Day in the third week of February, but it's for birthdays, you know.
Well, I'm going to propose that we have a Glenn's Day. As opposed to a Wednesday, a Glenn's Day.
Yeah, well, we can celebrate your birthday on Thursday, the 27th of May.
You got that.
Have it on the calendar.
Yeah, and please don't send gifts unless they're very big.
You have a mortgage still?
Oh, do I have a mortgage?
I'm asking, do you still have it?
Oh, sure.
You know, my mortgage will end by the end of the year after 28 years, but I was just saying jokingly, I'll send you a piece of paper saying your mortgage is paid off and we'll expect to collect.
You know, at least it would make me feel like I've done something.
Yes. So you, at your age, you're still paying a mortgage. I thought it was the only one in my 70s paying a mortgage.
Well, you've got to understand, I've lived in 21 different homes. So,
oh, my God. Really?
Yeah. But that includes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 when I was a minister's son, and they weren't my homes.
Well, how many are your homes?
what would that make it? Six?
No rented? Never rented?
15 homes I've owned. No.
Yeah, I rented for, I only started to be able to buy it in my late 40s, so now it's finally ending. I can't believe it. So
when I was in the Army, I did rent out in Maryland for 2 years.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but each time you do it, you always say, well, hey, I'll do it for 30 years. And the last time I did it for 15, because I didn't think it was fair to the bank to do it for 30, knowing full well I wasn't going to be alive in 30 years.
So how many years are left on the 15 now?
I think I'm down to probably, I'm probably down to half of that. So
you'll be past 80 at this rate.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'll be past 80, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
The good thing about that is the gods of finance have to keep me alive till I'm past 80.
I wanted to mention, by the way, today, April 21st, is Queen Elizabeth's birthday. She's 95, just days after burying her husband.
Happy birthday to the longest lived monarch, is she not?
Yes, at 95. I hope she makes it to 100, and I hope Jimmy Carter, 96 and a half, makes it to 100, you know?
I hope they both make it to 110.
Yes. Did you hear about the woman, who African-American woman, who made it to 150, 116? It was in the news the other day.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, amazing. And she picked cotton as a little kid. She was poor. I'm always amazed by people who have such difficult lives with their kids or young, just like Holocaust survivors, and they live on forever, it seems, you know?
Well, not a lot of the Holocaust survivors lived on forever.
I'm talking about the ones who have lived on all this time. Some have reached 95, 100, is what I'm saying, you know? Well, of course, a lot of people died at the time. I'm talking about the ones who overcame adversity and had long lives.
If you can overcome what they had to go through, you got one step up on that rung of longevity, I think.
Yeah, that woman who died of, they're not sure it's 150 or 160, she had 12 children, and she had, I think it was 75 grandchildren and 120 great-grandchildren and another 120 great-great-grandchildren. Can you believe this?
That's fantastic.
Amazing, though. How do you keep track of them all?
You know, if I had that, I'd be bankrupt because my wife sends a dollar for every year they are old. And I would be absolutely bankrupt about that.
Yeah, I wanted to mention one other thing. I lecture not at this point because of the pandemic, but I've lectured at one adult community here, senior citizen community, for years, but temporarily we stopped. But I got this man who got me into this place because he had seen me at another lecture, and he asked that I be, you know, employed once a month to speak. Yep. And I did it for 8 years, and I'm going to go back. And I kept track of his age. Today, he reached 100 years of age.
Wow.
And I wasn't sure if he was alive. I had his phone number. I called him, left a message, didn't answer. And then I called the facility, and they said, you know, interestingly, they said, we'll have you back soon after this period where I haven't done it. But I said, is Aaron really 100? She says, no, it's his birthday, but I think he's 98, 99. Let me check. She says, oh, my God, you're right. She said, we'll have to bring balloons and sing to him in his apartment. So I made his day because they now realize it's not just a day. It's his 100th birthday. So by alerting them this morning, I made his day, I'm sure. So I'm so happy. He is 100, but they didn't realize it.
That's cool.
I feel so good. I have tears over it, actually. Because I've never known anybody I ever met who was 100. You read about people, but I haven't met them, you know what I mean? I haven't met Jimmy Carter, but the people like Rose Kennedy, I haven't met them, but here's somebody I actually met and knew. So it's like, wow, he's 100. And she said he's still mentally fine, just physically frail. So that's good to know, you know. So
all four of my wife's grandparents, or all four of my wife's parents, and all of her grandparents lived into their 90s.
Wow.
Her mother lived to 99, but didn't quite make it to the 100. But
99? One of them made to 99?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
So, therefore, all that, the big bucks I'm making here on the radio station, they'll all go to her. Hey, we've only got about 4 minutes left to go.
Oh, my God, it goes so fast. I have so much fun with this, you know.
But I want to ask you, do you think we'll ever get an infrastructure bill going?
Get an infrastructure bill, but it's not going to be, you know, the amount that he wants, and it's not going to probably include everything he wants. But I think the whole idea of home health care, you know, for children and for seniors, that like $400 billion, I really think it's necessary, but that's going to be hard to do. But I think a lot of it, I think at least half of that will come about. He's going to have to compromise because of the president, because of the close margin in both houses. I just wish that it had been a bigger margin where he could accomplish more. But I still think he's going to accomplish more than any president has in a long time.
Well, now, he can use another one of the, what is that?
Reconciliation.
Yeah, he can use that for it, but he will struggle because he's still got to get Manchin over in West Virginia to go along with the infrastructure.
And also voting rights. The voting rights bills have stopped this bull of all these legislatures trying to curb rights to vote. It's just unbelievable.
I think there's a better chance of getting that done in more fullness than the one of the infrastructure.
Yeah, well, in fullness. I think there'll be a plan, but it won't be as much as desired. Yeah.
Well, the Republicans are yelling, there's only 6% of that budget is towards infrastructure. But what they mean is only 6% towards highways and bridges.
Yes.
That bill covers rail, it covers all sorts of infrastructure.
Yes, but they don't have broad minds. They're always looking, except for corporations. God forbid that some taxes go up when they've been getting big tax cuts since Reagan's time.
Yeah.
I just don't understand their mean spirits at this. They don't care.
Well, I hope we can grin them to death like Daniel Boone used to do. You just keep grinning until they get on your side.
Well, right? Joe Biden knows how to bring people together, but if the other side is unwilling, you know, but he's trying his best, you know, he's not, you know, but he's not LBJ or FDR because they had big margins so they could do what they wanted.
Right. Well, he's got to grin him to death, so I'm going to support him by grinning my friends, my Republican friends. And hoping that they start to understand. And I think there is a little crease, a little crack in the door there, where a few of them are starting to say, hey, you know, we need to legislate for our country, not for me.
That's exactly it. You're supposed to think what's good for the nation at large, but too many of these politicians are just thinking about their own careers. That's the problem.
Yeah, and I don't understand that, because I think they'll find that their careers are going to suffer from taking stances like these unmovable stances where you do no legislation.
Well, there's also gerrymandering of districts, though, which makes it hard to stop Jim Jordan or people like that.
Well, now, the state of Ohio supposedly is going to be facing that this year, but we'll wait and see whether we get anything done.
So. Yeah, one more thing before we go.
Sure.
That picture of you, where I jokingly said, when you said it was 100 years ago, I said you could be my dad, and you laughed. What age were you in that picture about?
I was probably 7.
Right in the middle, right?
Yeah, and I had gotten bashed in the nose with a baseball, and that's what you see. It isn't a booger hanging from my nose.
Really? I didn't see that.
Yeah, there's a little spot under my nose.
And yeah, how was that?
Anyway.
That was just funny when you said 100 years ago, so that's why I said, my God, you could be my dad.
With
a smile sign on.
All right, well, we're down to 30 seconds, so...
Thanks so much. I had a great time again, and look forward to next week.
Okay, I'm looking forward to hearing from you.
Have
a great
day.
Bye-bye.
And my regards. Bye-bye.
All right, Dr. Fineman, great. We always have a good discussion. And don't forget to tune in tomorrow. Fred Malone will be on with me from 10:15 till noon, and then we'll have a swap shop. And I'm not quite sure what we're going to do on swap shop yet. Have a great day.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio. The Talking Place. For Jim Lavelle,